Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is a great pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you already hanging on. Let's talk to Mark. He's listening in Warren, Indiana. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate your program. I learned so much from it. You have a really biblical, balanced view, you know. You take it right from the Bible. So I do appreciate that. And I also appreciate not only what you say, but how you say it. You have a way of correcting ignorance. I don't mean that in a rude way, but just a lack of knowledge. You have a way of correcting ignorance in a nice way.
Well, thank you. You're kind.
So I have a simple question. Who was the father of Daniel? Was it King David?
No, the father of Daniel was not King David. In fact, King David was Israel's quintessential king, and Daniel lived centuries after David. Of course, Daniel was writing in the 6th century. He lived during the time of the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar. King David, with his wife Abigail, had a son named Daniel, but the Daniel that is the Daniel of Scripture is a different Daniel. That is the prophet Daniel. And the prophet Daniel had a family history, I'm sure, but it was not detailed in Scripture. He's probably from an upper-class family in Jerusalem. But David, the quintessential king of Israel, and Daniel live in completely different epochs of time.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
Well, good talking to you, and thank you so much for your kind comments and for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Aaron listening in Muncie, Indiana. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate your program. Me and my family, we've always grew up in church, and my dad's actually a pastor now. And I have a sister that's about 30 years old, and she's been a lesbian for about 5 years now, I think. And it's just kind of getting to where I feel like maybe she's getting too comfortable talking about it around me, and I'm not really sure how I need to be as a Christian. I don't know how I need to conduct myself when she brings that kind of stuff up. Like, I mean, I wanted to know I love her. I wanted to still have that connection to me since, you know, I feel like I'm a positive influence in her life, you know, being a Christian. I don't want to be, you know, like, an extremist, you know, and kind of put her down for doing what she's doing. But I don't want her to think it's okay either. So, I mean, how do I go about kind of conducting myself?
Sure. Great question. And I think we ought to model the behavior of our Lord towards all who are lost through speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. So let's recapture the zeal of our Lord for all the lost, all the sick of society, including those engaged in homosexual practices. And that means hanging out with them, eating with them, speaking with them, acting out of love, as you point out, not out of hate, communicating the good news about God's rule, and then if they repent, throw a party. But you want to be one who speaks the truth as God gives you opportunities. And one of the things you can point out is that no one is a lesbian in the sense of an identity. Lesbianism is a behavior, not an identity, and I think people do themselves a disservice when they make that their identity.
Okay. Kind of like how you said, when the opportunity comes, because that's another thing that I've kind of always tried to be aware about, because I know you know, people that's not real open to being corrected, you know, in Christianity, you know, they're, you know, you might bring that up and they kind of withdraw from you. So, you know, I kind of don't try to press it on her all the time, but, you know, when I get the chance, I try to bring it up, and I don't know if I, you know, I'm coming on too strong to her or not. And so,
yeah, I think gentleness and respect, and I think that if you're an equipped Christian, God will give you the opportunities. We don't have to grab people by the lapels and say, brother or sister, are you saved? But we do need to be equipped to always give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. And again, the operative words, with gentleness and with respect. And the reason you do it is not because you dislike the person, it is because you really love the person, and that's manifest in the way you ask the question itself. God puts parameters around our lives, not because he's a cosmic killjoy or a hater, but he puts those parameters around our lives so that our joy might indeed be complete. If we use our bodies for purposes that our bodies are not designed for, then we pay in our bodies a penalty. And that is not only true with our physicality, but also our metaphysicality. So when we engage in practices that we are not designed to engage in, there's always a penalty. And that's why Paul talks about the penalty as well as the perversion when he says, women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women, were inflamed with lust for one another, men committing indecent acts with other men, and then he says, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. These aren't your words. These are not my words. These are words in the inspired biblical text, and this is not cherry-picking. You can go to a host of passages in the scripture, and the story is always the same. The prescriptions against same-sex sexuality are based in numerous passages on the precedent of the Old Testament, the creation order of Genesis, as well as prohibitions in Leviticus. And the contention is that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion for homosexual behavior. By the way, there's something else here too, and that is light. Everyone has light. There's an internal monitor. So we have the light of creation on the outside, but on the inside we have the canvas of consciousness, and it lets us know that there is a God and ultimately that we are accountable to that God. Now, we can obscure that light, and that's what Pascal said. He said that there is enough light. So if you want to respond to the light, you can, but enough obscurity so that if you do not want to respond to light, well, then God will continue for you to dwell in darkness.
All right. Well, yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, you got it, and I thank you for your heart. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Andrew, listening in Boone, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I'm a Christian person. I have several friends that are homosexuals, and I, you know, try to have discussions with them about the Bible and what it says about homosexuality. And they always want to point back to the, you know, when Paul brings up Leviticus and references that as a reason against homosexuality. Their sort of objection to that is that, well, we don't follow all the other rules in Leviticus, so why should we follow this one?
You ought to point out that that is a very good observation on their part. There are rules from the Old Testament that we ought not to follow because they're abrogated. The reason being is that there's a substance that fulfills them. However, there are universal principles in the Old Testament. And this is the point that I was making to the last caller, that the prohibitions that you find in Scripture with respect to homosexuality are based on a creation order, which is not known just through special revelation, but through general revelation as well. So the whole notion here is that you can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that same-sex sexuality is harmful to a person, and thus to love a person, we tell them the truth.
Yeah, I understand. Could you point me to a good reference or something as far as witnessing to some homosexual friends that I have?
You know, there is. There's a book that was written by Joe Dallas, and if you go to the web at equip.org, you'll see the various books, and you can pick out one of them. But I can tell you that when Joe Dallas writes on this subject, he does so with great sensitivity and with incredible wisdom. Joe himself lived the homosexual lifestyle for a long time, so he knows it from the inside out. And he wrote a book called The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. He wrote a book titled When Homosexuality Hits Home, a book titled Desires in Conflict. You'll find a bunch more on the web at equip.org.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. We're back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
In his newest book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Hank Hanegraaff extends a heartfelt invitation to readers to consider what it means to genuinely participate in the divine nature, to move beyond the notion of God as an abstract idea, and to powerfully know Christ as a daily transformational power and presence in our lives. Hank Hanegraaff believes that Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the most important book he has ever written. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next step is Carolyn. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Pierre. Oh, what a treat. I listen to you all the time. I just love it when I happen to be in the car at 5. So my children go to a school that is a fabulous non-Christian, you know, just a wonderful academic school. And I was hearing a couple parents lamenting the fact that they had approved a gay and lesbian club. And they just were saying, oh, we're so sad about this. And I was pretty vocal and I felt pretty sure about saying, guys, why are you sad about this? We're not at a Christian school. What do you expect? Kind of like wake up and smell the coffee. This is happening. Even in the South, this is happening. And then it concerned me that maybe do I have a lack of sadness for this, or am I truly correct in thinking that even in the South, we have to realize that this is where we are now as a nation?
Yeah, I love it. I love what you have just said. And I would echo those words, Carolyn, because the reality is pagans are always going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans. Why wouldn't they organize something like that in a secular venue? The real issue now becomes, are Christians going to exercise their job description, which is to be salt and light in a corroding culture? If we are salt and light, then these things begin to change. So the abdication of Christians to do what they were called to do results in what we have today. And as you correctly point out, we shouldn't be surprised. Nor should we yield. We should never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Rather, we ought to say, my conscience is captive to Scripture, and to act against my conscience is neither right nor safe. This is not original with us. Obviously, this was said during the Reformation by Martin Luther, and that's true. The temptation to yield to cultural norms, as you well point out, wake up and smell the coffee, it's going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And yet to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. This isn't a trifling matter, and I know that you recognize that, but the antidote is to do what we have been called to do. That's how you stop this menace. And it is a menace. It is going to tear apart the lives of many people because you cannot counter natural law with unnatural kinds of activities. When you do so, there's always a consequence. As I've said, it's kind of like sawing off the limb on which you're sitting. You're going to take a great fall.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm not off base then. I said to the mom, you know where I stand on this. It is, of course, it's a travesty, but why are you surprised? This is where we are. I think in the South, we're a little behind the times. And even Christians here don't recognize what's going on and the result of that. And it's going to affect all of us.
Well, it is. And, you know, certainly this is very, very true with respect to what's happened with redefining marriage. That's opened Pandora's box. And quite frankly, will spell the death knell to civil society, because fairly applied, the current logic would apply equally to any voluntary relationship that you can conceive of. And therefore, marriage redefinition erodes the rational basis for aberrations ranging from group marriage to polygamy to incest, and the list, of course, goes on. So we have enshrined a false definition of marriage in our law, and we ought to wake up and smell the coffee, as you say. It is very much, as I said, like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. Because rights come from our nature comes from God, and if we deny that, we deny the basis of all other laws. That is precisely what we are doing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're wonderful.
Well, you know, you said it better than I did. I was just elaborating on what you said.
Well, I'm just glad to know that Hank agrees. That gives me a whole new feeling of confidence.
Bless you, Carolyn. You're
Thank
kind.
You.
Thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Roger. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in New York. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
All right, great. Love your show.
Thank you.
God bless you. I had a question. I'm seeing a lot of leaders in the church giving themselves the title of apostle, and I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think that it is problematic in many, many cases. The reason is, as I mentioned to a previous caller, there are people like Mike Bickle who believe that the apostles and the prophets of our generation are greater than biblical prophets and biblical apostles, and that is sheer delusion. So in that sense, we should not take on the moniker prophet or apostle, but there is a sense in which those words can be used. Apostle can be used in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors. Prophet may be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. But again, the word should never be used in a synonymous sense with the first century Apostle John or the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah or Moses. These are unique people in the history of humanity, very much like Mary was unique in the history of humanity. But there was a fullness of time in which Mary birthed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine one human being given that incredible privilege. What a human being she must have been. Or what an incredible human being Moses must have been. Or Jeremiah. Or Isaiah. Of course, all of these people had their own warts, moles, and wrinkles. You think of Isaiah in chapter 6, gets one glimpse of the glory of God and is utterly undone. Oh, what a wretched man I am, echoes Paul many centuries later, recognizing that though he is the apostle to the Gentiles, who in the end wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, yet recognizes in the splendor of the righteousness of God how utterly depraved he is. And we all must recognize that reality. But nonetheless, those prophets were the cornerstone, the foundation of the Christian church, Christ being the cornerstone. And that foundation is not being laid and relaid over and over again in modern times. So those who are considering themselves super apostles, and I've actually heard some of them say that where Moses or Paul or Jeremiah or Isaiah to appear on the planet today, all of these prophets and apostles would simply stand in a long line and wait to get their autograph. Now, how could they say that? Well, they say that because they think that the works, the deeds that they're going to do will far surpass anything that the apostles and the prophets in biblical times did. And that, again, to reuse the word, is quite simply delusional. The prophets and the apostles were authenticated by their miracles. They were authenticated by the fact that they were able to say through the auspices of God Himself what would happen in the future. And as a result of the apostles and prophets, we can trust that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, their prophecies coming to pass, their words corresponding to reality. How different from those who take on that moniker today. They make prophecies, but one thing they have in common, they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. So rather than listening to the super apostles and prophets, we ought to dig into the scripture. We ought to become so familiar with the truth so that when these counterfeits loom on the horizon, we can recognize them instantaneously. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Hints Man broadcast. Be right back here Monday. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.